Siren Radio.
Marvellous. Okay, we also welcome to the studio Melissa Wilde. How are you, Melissa?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Nice to see that. Melissa, rather like Fergus, making her debut as far as the Madrid driver is concerned, which is very exciting, isn't it, Anna?
Absolutely.
So, share with us, in Twickenham, are you outside? Are you inside? Should we guess?
I've nipped into Marks and Sparks. I just decided I needed to have some cheering up, so I've just gone for 2 egg custard tarts. I'm afraid I shouldn't be advertising, should I? But yeah.
It's 2 egg custard tarts. Yep. Okay, just making a note of that. very important, you have to keep dietary habits on that basis. Ben, before we actually move about scooters, why wouldn't we? Because scooters are wonderful things to move about on. You'd like to share with the listener and Anna a reason why people should not miss what will be happening from next Tuesday onwards, which will be covered across the globe by yourself, Bethany, a whole range of folk. Even Melissa might be sitting in on one or two bits and pieces for that whole thing. It's FOC, is it not?
It is FOC, so it's Festival of Creativity. So it's run by the College of Arts at the University, and they're essentially...
That's the University of Lincoln.
Indeed it is. Yeah,
England.
Not to be confused with any other university in the UK. So essentially they're hosting a series of events from different colleges around the university and different sections around the university on different days over a period of 2 weeks, from the 28th of May until the 7th of June. And essentially we're hosting a number of events, a different variety of creativities, different interpretations, all free for the public to see.
Is that exciting, Anna?
It is. What am I missing out on down here in Twickenham? There seems to be a lot happening more neck of the woods, so that's good news.
Indeed. Yeah, and the highlight is a Robert Webb talk, so comedian, actor, author Robert Webb. It's now sold out, so unfortunately there's no more tickets available.
Right.
But he's hosting a talk on Tuesday on the opening day of the show. Wednesday, the second day of the show. But so it should be really good. There's a lot of people expected to turn out over the course of the 2 weeks. And yeah, there's lots to see and lots to get involved with.
Very exciting. And we'll find out more about the Festival of Creativity as it develops. Of course, we're actually day three of the Pint of Science Festival, which has been getting various coverage from that point of view. And proving that Lincoln is the cultural capital of the universe, of course, Dave Walker is going to be talking about Scoot to the Waterfront.
Indeed, yes.
What's it all about, Dave?
What's it all about? Same as every year, we get lots of scooters together on the historic Brayford Waterfront. This year, July the 13th, between 10 and 5, we have scooters, music, food available, scooters, ice cream, dealers, scooters, and scooters.
So, a few scooters there.
Did I mention scooters?
Let's just do a round robin here, starting off with Fergus. Fergus, have you ever been on a scooter? Have you ever been tempted by the scooter? Has it ever been a case of, yeah, ultimately, I might be doing a master's degree in journalism, but, you know, ultimately I really want to be a scooter driver?
I don't think it's ever really come to my mind, really, but
I've seen
a lot of people around in them and thought, maybe not for me.
Okay, let's swing it over to Melissa. Scooters, where do you sit as far as scooters are concerned? Obviously on the saddle day. I could see that sort of script on our basis. Move the microphone slightly closer to yourself, Melissa. And what about scooters?
I think I'm too accident prone for them.
No.
Yeah, I'm clumsy.
Come on, your father supports Manchester City. This can't be the... where are you from, Melissa? Share with us.
I'm from Manchester.
Right, excellent, excellent. As I said, marvellous. And your dad does support?
Manchester City.
Oh, it's nice to see. It's worked in there.
You found another fan, Alex. It's two of you.
It's a royal road. Now, I think Melissa's neutral on that sort of particular aspect from that. And Fergus, where do you originate from?
I'm from Leicester, so with all the Manchester City love still riding off the title
of course.
From about 3 years ago.
Yeah,
now,
well, exactly. So. Yes. It's genius. You know, there won't be any talk about the footballing game as the programme proceeds, nor indeed actually the things that are taking place as far as elections are concerned. Although, if you are into social media and you check out Anna's particular site, the things that Europe actually did for us, quite extraordinary, really. I won't say one thing or the other, but it was nicely repositioned. Who would you like to speak to, Anna? You've got Beth, you've got Fergus, you got Melissa. Wild.
Oh, can I speak to Melissa?
Yeah, good, exactly. Go for it then. Go for it, Anna.
Right, what have you got planned for the bank holiday weekend? Have you got anything exciting lined up?
Sitting on a patch of grass and getting drunk.
Postgraduate
ideals, exactly. Sorted through there. You know,
is Fergus going to be joining you, or is he past? Is not his thing, not his style.
I may consider it. I don't know.
And obviously, still in the undergraduate routine, but only for a few more weeks, Beth. I don't know. I mean, you would say no. Presumably.
We've all finished our exams on Friday. All of my housemates finish our exams, so it's going to be a celebration.
Oh, let your hair down. Why not?
I'm excited.
And Ben?
No. I've been Festival of Creativity.
Exactly. Festival of Creativity. It's the way forward, all the way. In fact, I'm going to move rapidly on from that point of view. And presume, are you outside in Twickenham, or are you inside?
I'm not. I'm inside. It's a bit noisy. It seems to be one of those days that there are fire engines and ambulances and police cars all going down the road simultaneously. Mm. I've dived into a shop just to be out of the
sirens. Makes sense. Did you manage to catch Eurovision, or was it a case of no, you couldn't?
I saw a bit of it, and I have to admit, I thought England was dreadful.
Yeah, it was.
Not surprised.
Yeah, I mean, Mr. Rice, even though he's from the northeast, from Hartlepool, it was probably. I mean, the fact that, as we'll be talking about tomorrow, he claims that it was all due to Brexit that the reason about Zero. No, exactly. He's deluding himself. It was rubbish.
Completely deluding.
Ben, you saw the Eurovision final.
I did. Yes. Yeah. What did you as well, Dave?
Dave didn't be watching the Eurovision.
It was on the background. I was restringing a guitar.
Yeah.
Priorities are correct. Dave's household. I did see it. To be honest, I don't think we should have come last. I think there were certain countries, like San Marino, for example, where I felt like they were horrendous. But I don't think we deserved to win. We just didn't deserve to come last.
Australia did very well coming to fourth position, but 18 points, etc. Melissa, your Eurovision file, was it a case of, were you at a Eurovision party, or was it just a case of no?
I did not watch it.
No. And Fergus?
I'm kind of one of those people who watches it just to see the kind of wackiness of it, and
just to see Madonna.
I just wanted to, quietly wanted San Marino to win, just to see where they would hold considering the size of San Marino.
Because curiously, it might have had an arrangement with Australia that if Australia had won, because they wouldn't go to Australia. Yeah. Australia not being in Europe, but still part of the Eurovision Song Contest, they might have actually gone to San Marino. It would have been interesting.
Yeah, I don't think they. I think they probably thought, nah.
Okay, Anna, before we ask you those last two questions, you need to decide. Would you like to have Madonna as performed at the Eurovision Song Contest with Future featuring Quavo? Or is it Quavo? No, it's Quavo. Or would you like to have the winner, of course, Arcade by Duncan Lawrence? Where are you going to go?
Going to go with Madonna. Yeah, I think she deserves a lift.
Exactly. Yep. Be a trooper all the way. Let's face it, I don't think necessarily the microphone actually did her any favours when she was doing it.
I can't believe there's one time I wanted auto-tune to work.
and they did turn all the way up.
That was something.
Did anyone else find it ironic that at one point during her production, she was dancing to the Nutcracker? Which was also used as a part of Cadbury's Fruit and Nuts.
Yes.
So everyone's a fruit and nut case.
Yes.
Because that's what she looked like.
That, Dave, is because, unlike Paul Weller, she's an artist. Oh, sorry, Paul. Well, only kidding. Only kidding. Last two questions for Anna, please. Beth.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today, Anna?
Certainly have. Thank you very much for asking.
Yeah. And will you join us again next week, please?
I would be delighted to come. Thank you.
Now everyone is coming to the future. Now everyone is learning from the past. Now everyone can come into the future. Now everyone that's here is gonna last. Now everyone is coming to the future. Now everyone is coming from the past. Now everyone can come into the future. Now everyone that's here is gonna last. You ain't woke, come get woken. Hear the broken. Give hope, come give life, I'll make it one, so we gotta live it right. Come make peace, come let faith and inspiration come complete you. Bad vibes, positive vibes, open your mind, open your eyes. Not everyone is coming to the future. Not everyone is learning from the past. Not everyone can come into the future. Not everyone that's
science, just free your mind. Welcome to the future, it's a culture ride. Too much pain inside, it's a override. Yeah, yeah. You've been putting too much time trying to survive. Don't like the person in your past, so you let them die. Crucifixion on the cross, but you know that I'ma rise above it all. God.
Yeah, she's gone now. Don't worry, it's perfectly safe, isn't it, William Coles?
Yes, your music is getting very edgy these days, you know, Alex.
Yeah. Well, you know, I feel if you're heading towards another series of elections and so on, what better way to do that? Are you going to be paying £2.50 to actually attend the Brexit Party rally in Edinburgh?
A friend wanted to go with me, but no, I am not going to go and see Farage with or without my milkshake.
Yeah.
Beneath me.
Fair point. Well made, it has to be said. Okay, in the studio, William, we have got the wonderful Beth Gulliver, who's already wished happy birthday to Abby LeMay. She didn't know it was her birthday. She's not been keeping up with her Facebook. It's all right. You know. Fortunately, I do that with our midweek drivers. So I feel might be in different countries, but you know, she might be in Canada, but still.
Is it today?
In Canada now, it's depending on which side of Canada you're early morning or early afternoon.
Actually, you can get away with it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to use.
You can just do a belated one. Anyway, that's Bethany. Ben is, of course, with us, just only chilling out with the Festival of Creativity, which is coming to Lincoln in a matter of days from now. It starts on Tuesday of next week, so I'll be running through all sorts of things there. You can follow the social work that Ben and Bethany and a couple of other fine folk will be working with. I think Melissa will be sort of there as a shadow expert for that sort of thing.
And also on the website, I'd add, if you want to have a look at any of the events, the dates, anything like that, going on to Lincoln Festival Creativity, just type that into Google and it'll pop up. Or any other search engine for that matter.
Of course, of course. Fergus Jeffs, who is a... It is the MA journalism that you're doing, Fergus.
Yeah, it's... Because of the size of the course, you put in with some of the more specialists, like sport.
Melissa, of course, MA Public Relations. Probably never met you before.
I think we've been in a few lectures, kind of course-wide lectures, maybe at the start of the year.
Postgraduate side of things there. And Dave Walker, or as we like to refer to him, Scooter Dave, because he likes scooters, and he regularly organises on an annual basis, that's once a year, William, the Scoots to the Waterfront Festival. Oh. It's fantastic. Have you spoken to Dave before, and have you ever ridden a scooter?
Yes, I didn't enjoy it. I will not be riding a scooter again. No, they'll bloody kill you for two pins.
So there's one view, obviously, Dave, which is possibly one extreme of the continuum. So as somebody
that's
who's
an acceptable view,
exactly, they will expletive deleted kill you potentially. How would you actually redress the balance?
I ride my scooter here, there and everywhere. The furthest I've ridden it is 260 miles to the Isle of Wight, so I mean, and I'm still standing.
Melissa, of course, as she said, possibly a little bit accident prone, unlikely to be getting on the scooter, unless it's a photo shoot, which of course we do.
Or a pillion, of course.
Do you have pillion? Oh, go your sidecar. Yeah. In fact, actually, Melissa, just back to your good self again, do you actually have any experience of travelling with a motorbike at all, either side saddle, pillion, whatever?
No.
Has it ever been a sort of secret wish to actually get on a motorbike or a scooter?
I wouldn't mind trying it, but I'd have to wear a helmet.
No, of course. Well,
we'll have to encode that one.
Saying. Yeah. Do you know, just when I thought, how are we going to cope without Eloise Sheehan, who may be in Scotland? You know, suddenly Melissa goes and kicks it out of the ballpark there with, she'd have to wear, and the paws. I thought the paws was fantastic. A helmet. It's genius. And Bethany, yourself, I mean, what are your views on scooters?
I really like them. I've never been on one, but I think they look really fun, but my mum's not so keen.
Tonight's the night. Yeah, exactly.
I'm off.
Yeah, you know, it's light nights. It is literally out there. He's brought, you know, we will, before the evening is over, have photo shoots that we'll tag Robin Pearce in Wales in, we'll tag William Carls, and you can see the scooter in action from that point of view. Dave, any questions you'd like to put to William about life, the universe, what it's like being in Edinburgh when indeed Eloise and friends have gone to Glasgow? I know, go figure. But what would you ask?
So, Nigel Farage is in Edinburgh. What sort of reception do you think he's going to get?
I think it's going to be a pretty hot one. I think that he's going to think himself lucky to get away with just 5 milkshakes. I think he's going to get a fusillade of them. They really hate him up here. And last time he came up for the referendum, and it was pretty spicy, but they hadn't thought of milkshakes then, but now they have. I reckon Starbucks and McDonald's will be doing brisk business.
Well, the milkshakes are available.
Yes.
Yeah, but not with that level of industrial effluent that you get in both of those aforementioned stores. Only kidding, clearly. It's a different way forward. Not really healthy to actually work down that line.
A bit of a tenuous link, though. It was discovered the other day that Brexit actually rhymes with Nesquik.
Yeah. the sound of tumbleweed going across the siren airwaves there, as we think. Really? Seriously, Dave? Is that what you call upping your game to the next sort of level of the bar?
I did say tenuous.
Lord. Yeah, tenuous indeed. How's the writing coming on, Bill? Is it blossoming? When can we look forward to your next awesome novel?
It's going very well indeed, thank you. And I am being rewarded for my endeavours with an invite tomorrow to Holyrood, the Palace of Holyrood, where I'm mixing with the great and the good. It's a drinks party.
Mm-hmm.
This is where Her Majesty stays when she's up here. I just think she's up here at the moment. But anyway, the Church of Scotland has got some shindig there tomorrow, the beating of the retreat. And I have wangled myself an invite.
It's only right, you know, that as a midweek drivette and our official Scottish Edinburgh correspondent, you know, the time has actually worked through that basis. In fact, I was amazed to not see your portrait at the exhibition that Ben and Beth were at with me last Thursday, effectively, because I really thought, you know, Richard Fitzwilliams would have been orating about, yes, the naturalness of the whole thing. Of course, I actually forgot that earlier in the day, in fact, it was possibly yesterday when I was first spoke to Fergus, and earlier in the day with respect to Melissa, I did say, is William Carls here? Now, Fergus, did you do any research about William Carls?
Unfortunately,
no. Okay, that's all right. So, Fergus, not quite. Let's turn to Melissa. I know
got
it's been
better
a
things to do.
It's been a busy day. Melissa, did you do any research into William Carls?
I didn't. No.
There we are. You see, it's that kind
but
of.
He's right here. William Carls is right here. He can just ask away. And,
Melissa, what would you like to ask William Carls? Would you, I mean, any questions at all?
Anything.
Yeah. He's very open.
What's your favourite city you've ever visited?
Istanbul. It's fantastic.
That's all we need.
Steeped in history.
In fact, we can always use that as well as a substitute for the last two questions, really. Ben, off you go, please.
William, have you had a reasonably interesting, or really interesting telephone
collapse
interesting
completely. Whoa.
Come on, Ben.
Yeah, it's been great. Thank you for asking.
Good. And we'll be joining us again next week. We'll be keep us updated on your events with the Holyrood Palace.
Yeah, I will let you know how it goes down in Holyrood Palace.
Mm. Lovely.
And meanwhile, here's one for Nigel.
If you're smart.
And in the immortal words of our next co-presenter and guest extraordinaire, it's not Mozart. Quite right, Arthur Weingarten. It wasn't Mozart. It was Kalis and Milkshake. Where do you go? So as the time in Lincoln, England, just comes around to 26 minutes past 5 o'clock, which presumably makes it 26 minutes past 9 a.m. in San Diego.
As we spin on the same planet.
Exactly so. Although sometimes it's difficult to tell, really, with respect to trade wars and shoes and costs of shoes. And, you know, the Chinese sort of say that they're going to actually have import charges and the Americans have their import charges. And Russell T. Davis writes a very frightening dystopian saga about the whole thing. Did you see part two last night, Bethany?
Oh, no, I missed it.
Unbelievable.
No spoilers.
It's quite all right. Arthur, how do we find you on this fine 22nd of May day?
Absolutely wonderful, although I've had some dental work and my face, I just came back, my face is paralyzed.
But ever the trooper, you will still come out and do the whole business, which is wonderful. Well, we'll keep this to the notion of a couple of key things. In the studio, just do a quick reminder. We have two debutant co-presenters. We have Fergus Jeffs.
How's it going?
Hello, Fergus.
And we also have Melissa Wild.
Hey.
Hello, Melissa. So, hello.
And then we have the seasoned production team that are, of course, Ben Lewis.
Hello.
And
hello, Ben. Hello.
The wonderful Bethany Gulliver.
Hello.
And
Bethany, what a crowded studio.
Well, we haven't finished then because a man who always knows where his scooter is, usually between his legs or by the side, it is Dave Walker.
Hello.
There we are. Scooters. Now, so far on the programme, Arthur, we've been debating about the joys of Eurovision, and I can't understand why, when Australia and Israel are allowed to enter Eurovision, why the United States haven't had an entry yet. You know, I honestly would have thought it's the way forward, but still, never mind. Did that actually sort of cross the Atlantic at all? Did you have any interest in the winning entry by the Netherlands, or was it a case of, no, you were just keen to see Madonna do another production there?
In this country, there is zero interest.
Zero interest.
Zero. Zero. It got mentioned on in the New York Times in a passing way as to the fact why is it called Eurovision when people outside Europe are entering it and Israel and the like. But other than that, it does not exist here.
Well, it could be said to many Americans, actually, Europe does not exist, but we won't go any further down that line.
That's exactly right. We'd
be into all sorts of presidential issues and various other things. Let's move on to a slightly different note, of course. We, sadly, or the world of entertainment, lost the fantastic Doris Day recently. I say that because we nailed our colours film with Mast, reviewing some of our old movies and such that we thought very underrated in so many ways, epitomising so much of classic Hollywood. Having said that, if you had caught our discussion and debate with our film critic Richard Fitzwilliams at the Moore Galleries in London last Thursday, then you'd think, actually, he'd be very, very vicious against Doris. Let's do a straw poll in the studio before we ask for your own opinion, Arthur. Dave, Doris Day, where would you actually sort of position her? And I appreciate you're more of a mod persona in terms of, obviously, the Jam and such like.
Absolutely, but global superstar, iconic, you know, so much imagery that she conjures up, the whole classic Hollywood idol thing.
Okay, good. So. Fergus, let's hope that the full semester you spent with me doing film criticism and journalism contemporary film has actually paid dividends here. But what's your view on Doris Day?
I think she was really, you know, space sensing, but yeah, terrific actress, you know, great voice. Well, like Calamity Jane, you know, obviously the film you think of.
Whip Crack Away.
Such a, you know, iconic kind of Western film. And, one of those ones where you think that you wonder if they're still around, and then when they die, you think, oh, wow. You know, it's a bit like Kirk Douglas as well. Like, he's still around,
yeah,
I guess.
I think Kirk must have been... let's not go down the Kirk Douglas routine, because I am Spartacus. somebody who I'm sure will have said, but you are Doris Day. Melissa, what are your thoughts on Doris?
I never really watched any of her films.
Right.
I only like modern films.
Right. By modern, are we talking anything later than Avengers Endgame is frankly just not worth watching at all, basically? Or are we talking sort of this century? How sort of modern is modern?
I would say like 1990s plus.
Right, okay. Bethany?
Yeah, I'm yet to watch any of her films. I might have.
I noticed that on Thursday, when we were having that tense stand-off between Eloise, she's in Scotland, in case you're wondering, Arthur. And obviously, Richard Fitzwilliams, it was almost a step. I mean, we nearly had a diplomatic incident. I thought, yes, very...
I thought,
very,
I'll
very
stay out of it. But regardless of that, I think she's iconic, so I'm going to speak a little bit.
Arthur, let's before we hear your words on this, shall we have one of those little pieces of music which I feel will act as something you'll be humming for the rest of the day? And I include this, actually, whether you're in San Diego or indeed in Wales. Sung by Doris Day herself from a movie with David Niven. I wonder, Arthur, if you'll be able to guess the title. Are you ready for this?
Yes, I am.
Please, here I am waiting and anticipating the kisses that I'll get from you.
Don't eat the daisies, please, please.
Please, please, don't eat the daisies, don't eat the daisies, please, please. I'm so romantic, but I'm getting frantic, wondering
to know if you love me.
If you love me,
love me a lot. You'll prove it by letting the daisies grow. It showers while you're eating flowers. The hours are wasted away. Please don't eat the daisies today. Do you love me? Do you love me not? That's what I'm longing to know. If you love me, love me a lot. You'll prove it by letting the daisies grow.
From a 1960 movie, which was entitled what, Arthur?
I don't know, because I'm giving myself an insulin shot.
Oh, wow. You know, this just opens up a whole range of routines. And once again, Arthur, you know, from a gentleman who defined one musical winner of last year's wonderful Christmas carol sound offers, it would have been less painful to have actually put needles into my eyes. Yeah. Called it out there, you know, Doris Day. The clue is in the title. It's called Don't Eat the Daisies. Please don't eat the daisies. I thought it might have come through, actually. Sometimes it works out. But what were your thoughts on Miss Kappelberg, or Kappelhut, or indeed Doris?
She was a consummate actress. I mean, that's the horror of the thing, in that, one, she was a terrific performer. At 16, she was a band singer and an excellent one, just terrific. And she never had an acting lesson in her life, and she went into these things. It was the studio who, of course, made her do these things, and she was a very pliable person, as the four marriages to these monsters, you know, showed. But every once in a while, something would come through for me. I never knew her, never met her. But I would watch a bit of these things. And there was a real human being struggling to get out from the structure of all these ludicrous films that were done. And every once in a while, they weren't that bad, I guess. But she was a victim and also had the rewards of a Hollywood system that said if it was good, we make 25 sequels. So, you know, that's where you got that. But she had a for us, for Annette and myself, she had a wonderful life in that she was an animal activist and did wonderful work for rescued animals and things like that. So, you know, for we were very, very happy that she was famous as Doris Day, the actress, so that she had the freedom with the money to do what she did for the animals. But I can understand how young people would look at that and say, why, it's television, it's ridiculous television stuff, that kind of thing. But as I say, every once in a while, there was a vulnerability that came through that did affect me.
And I would agree. And having gone through the phase of thinking she was great and then sort of thinking, oh, she was past that, it worked well. But we'll end it there. Dave, anything you'd like to add?
No, nothing from me, I don't think, at this stage.
No, that's perfectly okay. Arthur, got to ask the question, have you ever ridden a scooter? Ever sort of wished to have a scooter? Has Annette ever been on a scooter? Is this a, I mean, do you scoot around, obviously, San Diego these days? What are your views on scooters?
Well, I grew up with a scooter, but not the motorized kind, the kind where you had to use a left or a right foot. I don't know if Annette has ever been on one, but it would be very dangerous if she were.
Don't do it, Annette. You know, if you think between this week and next week, when you're next on the program, don't get on the scooter. It's very important.
Right.
But Dave, very interesting point that Arthur's raised there in terms of scooters. What about the traditional one-foot or pedal scooter?
Well, some would say that the motorised versions are so unreliable that you have to have a one-foot free anyway to push it along. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you do very often see people pushing them if they don't know how to fix them.
Smooth transition then, isn't it?
Well, it depends on, obviously, the oil that you're using and the lubrication, so it's all very important from that perspective. In fact, have any of your characters ever ridden scooters, Arthur? Because I can't think, I mean, if we talk about Adam's family, we talk about May Gray, we talk about... I mean, I don't think Jessica Fletcher in Murder, She Wrote, she never actually used a scooter. Well, it could be an opening.
Can I ask you a question, which is irrelevant, of course? Why are you talking about scooters?
Excellent question. Dave, why are we talking about scooters
why
on the
program? Why are you not talking about scooters? That's the question. I'm here to sort of give a bit of an insight to a charity event that I organise every year called Scoot to the Waterfront. Being a huge scooter enthusiast, mainly Vespas and Lambrettas from the Italian marques, we organise this charity event once a year in the centre of Lincoln, where people ride their scooters to the historic Brayford waterfront. I'll put my teeth in. The historic Brayford waterfront, and show them off. Tell people what scootering is all around.
Now I understand.
There you go.
All of a sudden, I had a Vespa back in the early 60s in London that I kept.
Wow.
I loved it. Yeah, I loved it. It was
Can you remember what model?
No, I got it from the person that lived next door to me, and I had it for almost a year. I can't remember. It was an early one because he bought it, maybe 15 years before in the 50s.
Yeah.
It was an early one. It was lime green.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
Yeah,
I'm conjuring up the image now of a mid-50s Vespa with
It was in perfect condition, and only one thing marred it a bit. I had driven it to the Hilton Hotel to have lunch with my agent, and I knew the doorman there, and I asked if it could be left outside because they always wedged it between cars in the parking structure. So he said, yes, I would. And during our lunch, apparently, bombs had been placed in the pillar mailboxes outside, the three of them that were outside at that time of the hotel. And as I came out, one of the bombs went off.
No.
And, yeah, it did. And I was in hospital for almost a month. I had deafened myself, or it had deafened me, and I was cut and bruised. A lot of people were hurt in that thing. But the miraculous thing was the Vespa survived without any
tough
problem.
Tough beasties. You see, Bethany, that was an adventure in London I thought we'd step away from, basically.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that.
We've interviewed Arthur. I mean, certainly I've been involved with interviews of Arthur now, probably almost a dozen times over the last 3 years. Mm. That's the first time I've heard a story like that, and I can't believe he's not told us that until now.
Well, that's because he's a professional. He saves the best. He just raises the bar time and time again. It's genius stuff.
I mean, when I think of a scooter, I grew up with a push scooter, so I don't think of the Vespas and the others. Of course, they're scooters. I just don't think of them that way. But I had not thought of that Vespa in all this time. Well, isn't that something? And I loved it. It got me around. I had a little Morris Minor at the same time, and I loved that also.
Well, it's nice to have raised that recollection with you, and hopefully you're reminiscing fondly.
It's part of our therapies package. No extra charge. Just works on that basis. It's genius stuff there. Bethany, would you like to put those last two questions to Arthur, please?
Yeah, of course. Arthur, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I certainly have.
Fab. And will you join us again sometime soon, please?
I am waiting with bated breath.
Hey.
Thank you. God gave rock and roll to you. Gave rock and roll to me. Say rock and roll for everyone. Say rock and roll.
Too, and dedicated to Robin Pierce, who's got an equally epic Kiss book that he's actually using to get him through the midweek drive today. We'll hear from Robin in the next hour of the production. Meanwhile, Dane was going to steal one last car before he quit forever, but he was disturbed by Thomas, an inventor being chased by the police, the FBI and the CIA, trapped in the manic crossfire. Thomas passes a device to Dane, who is teleported miles away into the arms of Kate. She could be the girl of his dreams, except for the global conspiracy he has just embroiled her in. Just some of the plot of the awesome movie Accelerator, which of course features John James, who we spoke to again last week. And I believe, Graham Harper, you went to see Accelerator. That's AXCELLERATOR at Sci-Fi London 19. Is that correct?
It absolutely is, yeah. It was a fantastic film. It was made on a very low budget, but when you look at it, it was absolutely fantastic. A real blockbuster.
This is what we like to hear. So it's thumbs up as far as your first experience or first movie at the Sci-Fi London Film Festival.
It was, and it was a real surprise. It was so good. Really, really good. And you could take any age group, really. Well, maybe 15 onwards, but you could take, no, 12-year-olds onwards. Yeah. It was really safe in that sense, but at the same time, really exciting and fun.
An exhilarating roller coaster ride reminiscent of 80s blockbusters, a classic fun action thriller. Did Bernadette go as well?
She certainly did. She felt exactly the same.
Wow. So there we are, Melissa, a movie from the Sci-Fi London Film Festival that you could check out because it's set sort of with the 80s theme. It's probably up to date and current. She's saying yes. She's nodding. That's the important thing.
I have to say, Alexis, that I also went to see, on the next day, the Sunday evening, I went to see a film called The Last Sunrise by a Chinese, the first Chinese science fiction film that's been really kind of let out by the government, as it were, in China.
Directed by Wen Ren.
Wen Ren. Mm. It was the most wonderful experience. That topped everything. That was absolutely one of the best movies I've seen in my whole life. It was just stunning. And hopefully we're going to hear a lot more of him.
Well, you've just nailed on something which might be emerging in next year's Journalism and Contemporary Cinema. Who knows? In a future reliant on solar energy, the world falls into chaos after the sun disappears. The skies are lit only by the stars and the temperature is rapidly dropping. Eventually, oxygen on Earth will be exhausted. Yang, a reclusive astronomer, and Mu, a neighbour he hardly knows, must find their way to a supposed sanctuary located in District 4. So that's high praise indeed, Graham, to actually say that Last Sunrise is one of the best movies you've ever seen.
Oh, absolutely. It was just it had the most fantastic performances. The story was gripping and very, very romantic. A really great story. When it came out, I was feeling so high and happy. It was a marvellous film.
See, this is one of the things, clearly we should have spent more time in London actually checking out these things, because we did wonderful sort of pre-podcast for the festival, but then we relied on your good self, Graham. We knew that the baton was in safe hands if you could...
Yeah. I did it for you.
Yeah, exactly. Took one for the team. The Louis Savvy sort of scenario from that point of view. So, Bethany, any questions for Graham about Life, the Universe, and indeed Last Sunrise? I mean, Chinese science fiction films.
Hello again.
Hello, Bethany. Hiya.
I was going to ask you what you enjoyed about when we went on Thursday. What was the best bit for you on when we were...
She normally expects the answer, meeting me, of course, which is Bethany's routine.
Apart from that, obviously that was the highlight, but apart from that...
Lunch? No, listen. I said, do you know what? I think I sent an email to you, well, certainly to Alexis, I think to all of you, to say that I found the whole day extraordinary. We start off with science fiction. We then go, with the film festival. Then we go to the Mall. I can't know what it's called. The Royal.
It's called, the Mall Galleries.
The Mall Galleries. We had a fantastic expert who sent us up a bit, but gave us a wonderful outline of Doris Day.
Let's face it, it was tense. It was the Richard Fitzwilliams, Eloise sort of challenge there. It was a bit tense, really.
Oh, it was brilliant. It was a brilliant... I think it was 100% on both sides. However, what we learnt on that day from both the Sci-Fi Film Festival and Richard, who took us around the gallery, was just mind-blowing. I thought I was not expecting such a diverse day. It was brilliant. So I can't say which bit was the best for me. I actually enjoyed it all. I was surprised.
Well, another survivor of our trip to London, I say survivor because obviously Eloise hasn't made it back to the show, so is indeed that other Lewis, Ben Lewis. He's with us now. And indeed, Ben was actually sharing with Scooter Dave, as we love to refer to him, because he does look after the Scoot to the Waterfront event. In fact, he founded it. That's Dave Walker. He was sharing with you all of your credits with the bill, with Coronation Street. Ben was saying, oh, he did the Coronation Street thing. I said, no, it's only a few years ago he did the Coronation Street system. But anyway, Ben is happy to talk to you, Graham, so that's good.
Hello, Graham. It's nice to see you again.
Ben. And to you. And to Bethany. Sorry about all that.
Indeed. So, obviously, would you like to do the event again next year? If there was possibilities that we could see Sci-Fi London again, would you return and hopefully see films of a similar nature to what you've seen this year?
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, I was really impressed. Again, Louis, who introduced us to the films, what an extraordinary man he was too. Yes, it was. I would definitely go back.
Amazing. Another success for the Midweek Drive.
Please ask me.
On location. Graham, you know you're on the side. Anyway, we'll be down in London again in back end of June to hopefully do a piece with Marina Sirtis as well, so it's all very exciting. Okay, two newbies in the studio, Graham. I say newbies, they're now 53 minutes old in both cases. 53 minutes and 42 seconds, to be precise. We have from Manchester, and she's already said that Bank Holiday will possibly be post-exam, sitting on a lawn somewhere, imbibing possibly alcohol. It will be the awesome M.A. public relations student, because that's what she's actually doing presently. It's Melissa Wild.
Hi.
Hello, Melissa. Hiya.
And also doing his master's degree, this time in journalism, it's Fergus Jeffs.
Hello.
Hello, Fergus. Hiya.
So who do you wish to chat to, Graham? Fergus or Melissa? Melissa or Fergus?
I didn't hear what Fergus's MA was in, or is going to be in, or hopefully he gets it.
Yeah, good answer. It is, of course, in...
It's in journalism, yeah.
I missed that, sorry. I'll start with you. So what are you expecting to do? You're going to go out and be a rapid kind of intrepid reporter, or are you going to go into the back room so that you collate it all?
I think at first, I think just getting any kind of stable job in journalism would be a... be something I'd look forward to.
One of the things, in case the listeners think, so where these Fergus and Melissa, they suddenly sort of just appear. Is it just a case of he just gets bored with the other Midweek Drivettes and just says, sorry, it's time to move on? You're here because obviously, Fergus, you're doing it as part of your work placement.
Oh, yeah, we have to do some experience in the kind of field of journalism as part of our master's degree to show we can fit into the kind of industry.
And what things have you done so far within that field?
Apart from this, I did a week at a magazine around...
What magazine? What kind of magazine?
Nice question, yeah.
It was kind of one of those current affairs kind of magazines.
You can name it, actually. You can name it if you wish. Unless, of course, you could remember it.
Thing is, I can't remember.
If you've forgotten the magazine you're doing work placement for, always short-term memory, first thing to go. You know, it's, you're listening to, I don't know, what station is this? Sorry, only kidding. It's Siren Radio. Just carry on for that point. Write it down, Fergus. Yeah, just a friendly tip. That's all. Sometimes you kick out of this. Yeah, last year, you know, Ben was working for a car company somewhere. It could have been Ford. It could have been Red Lotus. Yeah. He wrote it down. You wrote it down, didn't you?
I was reminded every single day I went to work.
It's written down there. See there? It's Bentley. That's the important thing.
It wasn't the Financial Times, perhaps.
No.
Oh, right, okay. They obviously need you.
Yeah, it's very true. Okay.
Look,
do you want to throw similar questions at Melissa, or have you given up the ghost?
No, I haven't given up the ghost, but I'm not quite as good as you at asking questions.
Oh.
However, Melissa, what are you trying to achieve for yourself? Where do you want to end up? Obviously, in public relations, but... in what way? In television and for a company? What are you after?
I really don't know. I think I'm more interested in, like, politics, PR.
Oh, right.
But I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I think I'll just fall into something.
Mm-hmm. Fall into something.
Yeah. Hmm. I think whatever's meant to be will be.
Okay, sarah, sarah.
Yeah.
Doris Day.
Well, our politics needs some sorting out, so maybe we need you more than you think we do.
There you have it. So your first degree course was in business?
Event management.
So you got a degree in event management. And what, did you not want to go down event management, or is it a case of no, public relations is where my heart is?
I was initially thinking of doing marketing, and then I decided to go into public relations.
Mm. And have you regretted it?
No.
That's all right. It was a slightly hesitant response there on the no. But yeah, you know, very well from that point of view. And like Fergus, you're doing a workplace with us from that point of view. How do you feel it's been so far? Now we've almost completed one English hour.
I think it's been good. I was a little bit nervous, but it's good.
Well, it's okay. Well, you knew you had a meeting this morning as well, so several times we'd been anticipating you. Ben was distraught. So no Melissa again.
Distraught.
Yeah, exactly. I think so. Up next, Jason Lewis. I know Anna Lewis, Ben Lewis, Jason Lewis. Jason Lewis is a global adventurer who basically needs to actually have his story told on a much wider audience, Graham. So when you get round to the motion picture, I think we need the Jason Lewis story. It is quite literally phenomenal. In fact, if we actually go to the little descriptor of Dark Waters, the true story of the first human-powered circumnavigation of the Earth. I'll say that again. The first human-powered circumnavigation of the Earth.
He's walking.
Pedalling.
All right.
Being across the whole... Cycling, exactly. Not scooting, though. It's interesting from that point of view. I mean, just the opening thing. Rounding the southern edge of Lookout Point, I felt the hairs on the back of my neck stand up, like when you know you're being watched. I glanced behind, two lidless eyes and a snub nose. He's only meeting a crocodile. Take that, Brayford Pool scooter event. But anyway...
Sounds like crossing Oxford Circus.
Exactly. Especially when you've got exploding telephone boxes going off in the background and scooters all over the place. Honestly, it's an apocalyptic sequence. Let's go to Bethany. Go on, last two questions for Graham, please.
Graham, have you had...
You're going to get rid of me?
yeah. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
It was very quick, and I have. Yes, please.
Oh, fab. And will you join us again soon, please?
Yes, I look forward to that.
Well, we've always wanted to actually lead in with this particular one, Graham, and you're probably one of the few people who can actually remember this particular number.
Thank you.
Well, me as well, of course. What the hey? Shh, it's Julia Lang.
Are you sitting comfortably?
Yes.
Then we'll begin.
Excellent. What more do you want? Graham, we salute you.
Thank you very much. Bye all.
too. You might as well jump, particularly if you want to jumpstart something. What the hey? Okay, we clearly have misdialed with respect to Jason Lewis. We'll try again, unless, of course, he's... And Ben, you might know him better than we do. He might have actually sort of been pretending to be somebody else completely differently. Surely not. No, it wasn't that bad a wonderful, great lives talk they actually gave. And it was an awesome, great lives tape. So we'll actually get that sorted through after we play a piece of audio magic, which was featured actually on our return journey from the joys of the great metropolis.
You saw the whole of the moon.
Next, it was working out how best to stow everything. All the food and equipment first had to be weighed on a set of bathroom scales to make sure Moksha floated level in the water. Too front heavy, and her bow would spend most of its time buried in the back of the next wave, slowing us down. Too much weight in the stern, and she'd pull the marine equivalent of a wheelie, again producing too much drag. Not my words, but the awesome words of our next sensational guest. It's the amazing global adventurer Jason Lewis. How are you, Jason?
I'm well, Alex. Yourself?
Excellent. I feel as though I've been inspired to such an extent that I've been whizzing through dark waters, the story of the first human-navigated circumnavigation of the globe, etc. And, I mean, there's so much there. There's enough for at least a series. I mean, I was thinking motion picture. I mean, little did I know about the crocodile story. Wow. You know.
I know. I don't think we covered that during the talk, did we?
No.
But there was... there was too much material for the 45 minutes that we had allocated.
Well, that and, of course, our Scottish friend and the way in which he managed to capture the vernacular of the Scottish filmmaker. It's extraordinary. You know, it's amazing. It just shows the wonder. And, of course, we've also got the awesome Tammy Stevens with you. How are you, Tammy?
I'm doing great, Alex. How about yourself?
We use the Tammy Stevens, Jason Lewis method, that's how I'm referring it to actually sort of cope with our little adventure to London last week with respect to the Mall Galleries. And I think it paid off, didn't it, Bethany?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, since completing your final exam, have you been glued to the trilogy of books that Jason has actually produced, or is it a case of I'm savouring each word, so I'm just working
on the
that.
List, literally. I'm so excited to read something that I want to read and I haven't been told to read. So that will be one of the first ones I read for sure, definitely over summer.
I would hope so. And indeed, just looking at the whole thing, it is the true story of the first human... I mean, I'll say that again. The first... human-powered circumnavigation of the globe. I mean, in the introductory thing, Jason, you touched on this in the talk that you gave at the University of Lincoln. You provide some interesting detail about the reason. In fact, you came up with that and mentioned the moon landings, mentioning obviously in discussion the fact that, you know, you'd had the South Pole discovered, the Arctic Pole, etc. And all of this from cleaning windows. What can I say? Awesome.
Well, I know, not a very illustrious start. Well, you know, you've got to start somewhere, haven't you, in life? While I was at London University and was just a way to make a bit of extra money, which I'm sure students can relate to. So it was something that we started and it carried through and paid for my music habit. I was in bands before joining the circumnavigation attempt. So it was just a bit of an earner on the side.
He survived a terrifying crocodile attack off Australia's Queensland coast, blood poisoning in the middle of the Pacific, malaria in Indonesia and China, and acute mountain sickness in the Himalayas. He was hit by a car and left for dead with two broken legs in Colorado. It's like a shopping list, isn't it, Ryan? And incarcerated for espionage on the Sudan-Egypt border. Dark Waters charts one of the longest, most grueling 13 years, I believe, Jason? 13 years?
13 years, yeah. 13... It wasn't meant to be 13 years. It was meant to be 40 and a half.
Yeah, well, if you will go and get yourself run over by a car in America, I mean, really, you know, that probably sort of just set you back a wee bit, I would have thought, as we've said. Just an awesome thing. In the words of the Sunday Times, the last great first for circumnavigation. But, again, just awesome stuff. Let's open it up to the team. Obviously, you, Bethany will have a few words. Ben Lewis, your namesake, of course. One of three Lewises we've had on the show today, Anna Lewis. And last week, in case you're wondering, Jason, we also had Professor David Lewis. So we're keeping the Lewis theme going. Tammy, we're working on the Stevens connection, so we'll see what we're doing. It's the way forward. Dave, what are your thoughts on some of the work that Jason has been involved with in that circumnavigation? I mean, you know, you're at a loose end now. Surely, you know, you're looking for a job and circumnavigate the globe.
Well, yeah, I suppose. Although
on a scooter.
That's been done, strangely enough. So I wouldn't be the first. So Jason and Tammy, do you have a preferred method of transport for the circumnavigation that you did? And tell us more about it.
The boat, the pedal boat that you reference, Alex. I mean, that's very efficient for crossing.
Let's not forget Moksha. It's got a name. It's called Moksha. It's Sanskrit, which means
liberation or freedom. Well, at least that's the nearest translation.
Yeah. I refer to her as the other woman.
I'll say that. Yeah. go with that, yeah.
But she's very, very efficient at crossing large wet bits, i.e. the Atlantic or Pacific. But actually, I think, you know, I found... I mean, the thing is that on when you're on the water, I found kayaking particularly enjoyable. You sort of get a nice balance between making miles every day and also sort of being close enough to the water where you can really see the marine life and you can, you can get off. If you're, for example, we use kayaks up to Indonesia. It's just amazing kayaking up to this island, through that island archipelago, and being able to stop off each night and get off and camp on the beach. And that really seems to be the best kind of balance of travel, at least for the wet bits.
Cool. I can certainly visualise that. I've actually done kayaking myself in the Norwegian fjords, so know exactly what you feel. You feel at one with nature because you're so far, you're nearly sat in the water. And it's just you and nature and nothing else, and you've got, you know, you've only got your own power to get around. So, yeah, I can totally appreciate that.
Yeah.
Whilst, again, soaking up the joy of the book, available obviously online and all sorts of good routines there, part of a trilogy, keep plugging that, I was particularly impressed with the whole notion of awe, and a line that Joe Marchand actually talked about in New Scientist a couple of years ago with the opening line, "Have you ever been stopped in your tracks by a stunning view or gobsmacked by the vastness of the night sky? Have you ever been transported by soaring music, a grand scientific theory, or a charismatic person? If so, you'll understand novelist John Steinbeck's response to California's giant redwood trees, which can soar more than 100 metres towards the sky." And the whole notion about awesome awe and things which are genuinely awesome. I mean, awesome is a word that's often loses its currency, loses its value. It's used so frequently these days. But I'm suggesting basically, Jason, that you must have had some moments where, apart from the fact that when you're becalmed in the doldrums, you're thinking, why, etc. Were there moments of genuine being awestruck by the phenomenon of this planet on which we live?
Well, I think for me it has to be in the middle of the Atlantic, where, of course, there's no light pollution. And on a moonless night, the stars were just incredible. And there was this, after you've been out at sea for about a month, all of the trappings and the mental clutter starts to fall away. And I just remember one of my favorite times being on Moksha, the pedal boat crossing from Portugal to Miami. In the middle, so 3 o'clock in the morning, my pedaling partner was asleep in the rat hole, as we call it, the only sleeping compartment on the boat. And just standing there in the hatchway, with a cup of hot chocolate in my hands and just gazing up at the sky and just that sense of, I mean, you're in this tiny little life support machine, this little boat bobbing out there. It's dark all around, and just the night sky. I mean, it was absolutely, absolutely awesome. Yeah, there you go. Good use of the term. But also this feeling like how insignificant we are, as little specks on this lump of rock we call planet Earth. And so I think, yeah, that was one of my most humbling but also awe-inspiring memories of that whole circumnavigation.
Let's open it up to a couple of people who didn't have the opportunity or privilege of actually experiencing your great Lives Talk a couple of weeks back. Start off with Fergus. Fergus, any thoughts or questions for Jason? Or indeed Tammy, who is preparing, psyching herself up for a voyage with Jason, which is going to be, well, it's going to be just tremendous in its own way.
Well, I suppose after something such as circumnavigating the globe, what is the next big journey then for you to... kind of think about and prepare for?
The next big journey.
Yeah.
Tell me.
I think, on the whole, the next big journey is to try and get as many people to come along with us. And
going to need a bigger boat.
In order to save the boat, which is our planet. I mean, we do have some journeys coming up, but that is of the utmost importance to both Jason and I. What can we do? How can we make ourselves available to stop global warming and to prevent the extinction of so many species? And I know that's probably not the answer you were looking for, but that is why we will be doing any future expeditions. Jason, what do you think?
Yeah, so we have a trip planned to a little island called Tikapia in the South Pacific next year, which we, and this is a little island between Fiji and the Solomons that has been living sustainably for 3 millennia. So we want to go there and learn how these people have managed to do that for so long. Is there anything that we can learn and maybe apply and adapt to modern society? But as Tammy said, the main, whatever we do from now on in terms of expeditions, it has to be with that end goal in mind. It's trying to find ways for society to transition to being a sustainable one.
We're speaking recently with a tourist guide who is discussing the ways in which ecotourism is becoming much more important in terms of our lives and our general sort of aspect of that. And the prognosis seemed to be pretty good. Now, you could actually cynically turn around and say, well, yes, this was all part of a company that actually specialises in this particular kind of things. But do you get the feeling that, I know it's a long journey, but is it one that's going to be a successful one? We'll go to Jason first on this one.
No, I mean, to my mind, it's one of the things that when we start talking about solutions to these very big problems like climate change and biodiversity loss, and we talk about technology. You know, will technology save us? Will the politicians get their act together in time? Will they legislate for a sustainable future, or will it be a groundswell of individual people modifying their lifestyles? Mm. But I think that one of the overlooked factors is the story, is telling a story, is the power of story, and telling a story that captures people's imaginations. And anyone who has seen David Attenborough's documentary series on Blue Planet will know that, you know, how powerful storytelling can be in terms of convincing us to behave differently. So I think that's what we're trying to do. I don't know if we will be successful, but I think what we sort of honed over the last few years, Tammy editing and me writing the book series on the Circle Navigation, is how to tell a story so it engages people.
It is a tremendously fantastic story, I have to say. I'm going to push for it to be an upcoming book of the month, and I'm sure it will be, because it just races along in all sorts of ways. Just a little heads up, we were speaking yesterday to the founder, chairman and chief executive officer of Abercrombie & Kent, which is a luxury travel service. That's Geoffrey Kent, who was pleased to actually say that since introducing a more ethical, ecologically upbeat line, that they've managed to obviously sort of look to get stable populations of gorillas in Uganda, for instance. It's interesting. Michelle Chan, who's the editor of Vanity Fair on Travel, was also keen to do that. A piece we'll be putting together as one of our podcasts, also probably running tomorrow morning. Let's open it up a wee bit. Whilst I still actually have to cope with one little slight disappointment I had, Jason, I do wish you'd actually taken the Fife's Banana sponsorship. I just think that is... it would have been a Manchester City connection there with bananas and all, but anyway. Bethany, any questions for either Jason or Tammy?
Yeah.
Or bananas?
Okay. I was going to ask how the preparations are going for the next trip, actually, because I know that's this summer, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it was going to be this summer. We haven't raised the funding yet, so we're going to have to delay till next May, sadly.
Go the bananas! Go for the bananas, Jason! Sorry.
This was an offer back in the day of diverting the boat, of course, into a giant banana. Mm.
I mean, you see, that appeals to me. I have to say, there was a LOL moment to use the vernacular. I just thought, yeah, if only. You know, I mean, we would have had Citizens Lincoln pounding Dawn down the doors if you'd had a banana on that basis. Still.
No, I know. Well, that's it, isn't it? It's a clever way to sort of capture people's imaginations, but it was the whole thing that we would then have to pedal the Atlantic as the Banana Boys.
You could have had the banana splits in the background. There's so many areas there.
But you know, you rollerbladed and he biked, so you technically did have a banana split.
Exactly. Yay. Well, well said, Tammy. You know, it works retrospectively to actually get that publishing hand on that. Sorry, Bethany, over to you. You've asked the question. Do you have anything else? No,
they
let's move.
I don't know.
She's just excited to read the book.
The preparations are, we've actually been working on the boat, and we're off Chris, who is from Brighton, who's very, very skilled. He's actually the guy who built Moxa originally, has done quite a bit of work on the boat in terms of just modifying her for this upcoming expedition.
Oh, yeah.
And/or what else have we been doing, Tammy? We've been to some meetings.
Well, you know, we try to do something every day, given the urgency about the planet. And I do have to say that it has to succeed. It has to. And so I often think of times like storming the beaches of Normandy. It seemed like all was lost, but it had to happen. And I think that's how we feel. And I would encourage everyone to be positive about that. But, for instance, we went to an Extinction Rebellion meeting the other day. We just are trying to do everything that we can, and I would encourage everyone to do the same. We were very happily surprised, I think. We love what they're doing and what anybody is doing to try and help with the planet, but we kind of thought it would be a lot of people in bursting stocks and drinking soy milk and whatnot, but I was very happy to see that there were people of every persuasion, every age, every ethnic group, people in their 80s, people in their 20s, just a lovely cross-representation of society that feel as we all, as many of us do, you know, what we do and how can we apply our talent.
We'll just open it up a bit more. Dave, any questions for yourself?
yeah. Jason, you mentioned you were a musician.
Yeah.
So what did you play, well, and how much of that was involved raising funds for your trip?
Well, I've got to say, I wasn't a very successful musician, but otherwise I wouldn't have been cleaning windows as well. But
look at George Formby. He managed to cope with a ukulele. That's all he needed in the band.
Yeah, it turned out nice again.
Exactly.
He was good at playing the ukulele. No, actually, it wasn't involved the music. So, to be really honest, I was playing in bands for quite a while when I was at college and then afterwards as well. And I think looking back, you sort of know that at the time it was, you know, you might have had something, but looking back, we were just a terrible band. We were just an absolutely terrible band. And I think one of my friends, Steve, who was the guy who thought of the circumnavigation idea, when he came to me and said, oh, do you fancy doing this trip around the world? It'll take 3.5 years, blah, blah. I thought, oh, it's a lifeline, you know. I just can escape London, escape the flesh pots of London, and, you know, my music career that was going nowhere fast and, you know, go off on this grand adventure. So in a way, it was a kind of a blessing.
And you
although you'll know, he did wear a Viking helmet and a kilt.
Well, I mean, I mean, that and the sort of lager train spotting routine whilst you're actually removing the bucket from the actual hardware store is fantastic. So, no spoilers, but it's.
I like it up, please. It's embarrassing.
It's a way forward. Let's quickly go. And Melissa, any thoughts or questions for yourself? Has this been inspiring for you to help save the planet, even as a lass from Manchester?
I mean, I think I was interested in helping to save the planet anyway. But I think the question I have is there anything left on your bucket list?
Nice choice of words there. See what you did there. Well, very good. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really know what bucket list. It's one of those terms that I can't really relate to, and that sounds a little bit, I don't know, not arrogant, but I think having sort of done the trip around the world, I don't have any sort of burning desire to go off and bungee jump off, I don't know, Sydney Bridge or go to Antarctica. I don't have any of those, you know, those desires anymore to do anything.
Hey, listen, Jason, coming to the University of Lincoln was thrilling enough, really. Let's face it. You know, that whole sort of essence of you know, the Isaac Newton building and so on. I mean, you know, we've had sort of Academy Awards sort of folk been quaking in comparison, really. It's amazing. I mean, Scooter Dave has to have therapy every time he does a show. It's amazing.
Absolutely.
You can, of course, access more details about the fabulous work that Jason and Tammy are actually doing by going to jasonexplorer.com. That's Jason Explorer. We haven't had a chance as yet to speak about the Lazarus Fund. Would you like to just briefly mention that, please, Tammy? The Lazarus Fund, obviously Back from the Dead, how does it connect in all sorts of ways, and why is that an important thing to support as well?
Well, the Lazarus Fund came about basically when I was volunteering at a shelter in Colorado, and they would euthanize the animals in the morning and cremate the bodies in the evening. Not very pleasant, but that's the fact of what happens with the overpopulation of pets. And I found a dog that had been euthanized in the morning, but in the late afternoon still had a tiny little muscle twitch. So long story short, I took her home. 24 hours later, she woke up. She became a therapy dog, a lovely pit bull. And so we now have a nonprofit that works to save animals that would otherwise be on death row or maybe on the streets of India or wherever it may be. And it's all volunteer groups, so we're very proud of it.
Hence the line, do you have a Lazarus heart? It's not looking for transplantation. It's just a case of actually sharing some thoughts about all sorts of other bits and pieces. Fergus, any thoughts from yourself? Has this inspired you to go around the world?
Well, there's so many places I want to visit. I could just do them all in one go, maybe.
It's extraordinary. Jason and Tammy, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today? Has it been okay for you guys?
Always, always, Alex. It's always a kind of a lovely kind of cosy chat. So thank you to everyone there with you.
Absolutely. You're such a professional, Alex. We've had radio interviews all over the world, literally, and it's just always such a pleasure to talk to you. You're
great
a real
fun.
Pro and a lot
great
of fun,
fun
to be with.
Tammy, it's been just tremendous. I'll say awesome because it's true. And can we connect with you again in the very near future? Will you be kind enough to return and keep us updated, presumably in the same sort of monthly routine, about how the things are going and how we can obviously help support the excellent work that you're actually doing?
Well, we'd love to. Yeah,
absolutely.
Please.
Absolutely.
Let's go for it. A round of applause for Jason and Tammy, please.
Yay!
They're saving the world, you know. They're saving the world.
Had enough of heartbreaking pain. I had a little sweet spot for the rain. For the rain and skies of gray. Hello sunshine, won't you stay? No, I always liked my walking shoes, but you can get a little too fond of the blues. You walk too far, you walk away. Hello sunshine, won't you stay? Oh, I always loved a lonely town. Those empty streets, no one around. Fall in love with lonely, you end up that way. Hello, sunshine, won't you stay? Sunshine.
can see from his wonderful weekly update post that Robin Pierce is getting into some serious reading with respect to the programme tonight. Hopefully he's not been working his way through the full mega KISS compendium, the first complete collection. Maybe it's been the ideal companion whilst listening to the show. We don't know. He will let us know now what he's made of the programme so far, which still has to go back to California to speak to Lily Holliman, now, of course, Lily Leonis. Robin Pierce, welcome to the Midweek Drive. How are you?
Hello, Alex. How are you doing?
Oh, I don't know. You know, sometimes I just wonder whether it's worth anything at all this stuff. Well, we're fine. We're fine. We're good.
I've got to tell you that before I go into anything with the show, I'd like to say, you know, hi to Fergus and Melissa. Welcome to a whole new world. Your playlist tonight, sir, has been exceptional.
Yes.
KISS, Van Halen, Waterboys, Springsteen. I'm going to do something very, very unusual, okay? I am going to forgive you for all your earworm transgressions against me up to now.
There you
have a clean slate.
We have been shriven. In the wonderful words, we have indeed been shriven, and our sins have been forgiven. Not that they were sins, really, because at the end of the day, what's not to love about Mouldy Old Dough? I mean, Dave, surely it's one of your classic favourites, isn't it?
Lieutenant Pigeon's top of my playlist.
Okay, Robin, it's over to you for the next few moments. Would you like to brief the team on how they've been doing and how they've been relating to life, the universe, and such like stuff?
Well, you know, Beth and Ben, they are seasoned professionals by now, and they are so much better at this than I am. Fergus and Melissa, how are you finding your first show, guys?
I'm enjoying it so far. It was going to be a bit daunting because I haven't had much experience in doing live radio.
Let me just tell you, you know, this segment of the show where you phone me over here in Wales, this is where it all falls apart, okay? Right then, scooters. A lot of talk about scooters. Have I ever owned a scooter? No. Have I ever wanted to own a scooter? No. I like something with room around me. If I can get some armor plating between me and every other road user, I'm happy. I like to drive something a little bit more, you know, intimidating than a scooter. Sorry, Dave.
Well, you say intimidating. Perhaps we should send you a picture of the scooter that I'm currently at the studio on.
In a few moments, we'll be doing a photograph. I'll make sure Robin is tagged in.
You say intimidating. Wait till you see the picture.
Well,
all right then.
Speaking of armour plating, I mean, most of the gear that we wear these days is certainly armoured clothing because it has to be. So,
Only yesterday I saw an idiot. No other word. Well, there are, but this is family entertainment. On a Harley Davidson, he overtook me on a dual carriageway. He had a huge hog, right? He had his big "Don't mess with me" safety helmet, T-shirt, and shorts.
Idiot. Yeah.
You just despair.
Gravel rash hurts.
Oh, I'd imagine that at the speed he was going, had he succumbed to gravity, his leg would be down to the bone within microseconds. You know, why do that? Arthur Weingarten, he has the line of the show as far as I'm concerned. Don't interrupt me, I'm giving myself an insulin shot. What a guy. You know, whenever I hear Arthur Weingarten, I could swear I'm actually listening to Stan Lee, because he's got the same voice.
Yeah, very much so.
And I mean that as a mark of respect and in no way insulting or disparaging. But I can just imagine Stan Lee talking.
I've said that for years, but still, never mind. That's just their New York background, their shared Brooklyn, New York heritage, that's what I say.
Oh, there we go, there we go. You mentioned a movie called Accelerator with Graham that sounds right up my alley. Do you guys think it's going to get a wide release, or am I going to have to hit a festival somewhere?
I think you're going to have to go to a festival or wait until it's released online or sort of through that. That's one of the things we talked about with John James last week. And again, there's so many great movies out there, sometimes it doesn't get the exposure. I mean, Fergus, you've been been having a look at the brochure. Any of those movies catch your eye?
Well, the one that Graham mentioned earlier, the...
Accelerator, or the Chinese one?
The Last Sunrise. I've kind of been getting into that kind of foreign kind of science fiction, especially from Asia. Like, I saw Train to Busan recently, which was a kind of Korean zombie film, which is quite interesting. And saw The Raid, which I enjoyed that as well. So
The Raid was tremendous, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was absolutely tremendous. And I'd be interested to find out how it differs in terms of these end of days.
And in a few moments, we'll be speaking with Lily Holliman, whose latest movie is released this coming Friday. I know, it's getting more exciting as we speak, really. So another great movie there. I've got to move you on. Robin, any other particular sort of highlights you want to raise?
It's in a world of misery, despair and cynicism. Isn't it great to hear that the pioneering spirit of exploration is, you know, still alive and well? You know, the days of adventure, they're not over, are they? While there are people like Jason Lewis circumnavigating the globe and trying to save the planet and raise awareness. I mean, that guy, wow. Ultimate kudos and respect right there.
Says it all, really.
Yeah, yeah.
And the only thing we need to say now, because Eloise isn't here, she's in Glasgow, apparently. Maybe it was something we said. I don't know. Is she getting it? No. I was going to talk about tattoos there, but no, we'd best not go there at all. I won't be listening anyway. Would you like to put those last two questions to Robin? We could ask Dave. What do you think, Ben? Should we ask Dave?
Yeah, we'll give it a try.
Yeah, all right. Well, Dave, we're going to give you a try, because you're looking for a job. So... would you like to deliver those last two questions, please?
So, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
It has been a pleasure, as always, Dave.
Well, that's great. And will you be prepared to join us in the future?
I would love to.
Fantastic.
In one.
Dave Walker, you are a contender.
Better than yours, Ben. It was.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa! What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa! Pussycat, I've got flowers and lots of hours to spend with you. So go and powder your cute little pussycat nose. Pussycat, I love you, yes, I do. You and your pussycat knows. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Pussycat, you're so thrilling and I'm so willing to care for you. So go and make up your big little pussycat eyes. Pussycat, I love you. Yes, I do. You and your pussycat eyes. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. Pussycat, you're delicious. And if my wishes can all come true, I'll soon be kissing your sweet little pussycat lips. Pussycat, I love you. Yes, I do. And your pussycat lips. You and your pussycat eyes. You and your pussycat nose.
Probably owed to the joys of Fuzz Aldrin, or maybe not. She is back, she's returned. Ben doesn't realise microphone etiquette is actually on. Microphone is live. I don't normally start talking, Ben, when I'm, you know, life continues. Fortunately, yours weren't down there. Oh, don't fight. We've got the fantastic return of Lily Holliman. Now, of course, Mrs. Fildeiners. She's awesome. She's talented. She's the president of the Los Angeles Breakfast Club. I'll say again, the president of the Los Angeles Breakfast Club. She lives in Los Angeles, California. and she's an actor-producer, and she's awesome. She's got a movie coming out. Lily, welcome back to the Midweek Drive. We thought it was something. We said you've been. It's been months and months and months since you last joined us, so why so long, Lily?
I don't know. I guess Phil's just been hogging the spotlight. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're going to have to sort that. It's not. I mean, Phil might well hog the spotlight, but you know, at the end of the day, there's always a place for the Lily Hollymans of the world, and indeed Lily Leonesses, which is easy for me to say, perhaps, or maybe not. It's like Lois Lane,
yeah.
Lily Leoness, Lana Lang, Lily Leoness. We all knew that Phil Leoness was secretly. So, how is he, by the way? Is he recovering his sight? Because we were a bit worried about Phil. We thought, what is Lily doing to him?
Well, no, he has not. He hasn't recovered his sight yet. He has to kind of just endure until July 3rd
okay.
when he has surgery.
And then, of course, the day after, it will be his Independence Day.
It will.
Let's progress, Lily, because as we've been teasing ahead, you have got a movie, another movie that's being released very shortly. Would you like to share with us the wonderful tracks and what we should be checking out?
Yes, you know, I mentioned this maybe last time we spoke, that I'm in a movie that stars Emily Bette Richards, or
yep.
Richards, Rickards, from your favorite show, Arrow.
Exactly.
And that has just now hit the cinemas in the United States. We open this weekend. And I have a big screening this Saturday afternoon with a Q&A in Beverly Hills at the Lemley Playhouse, where I will be reprising my song on the auto harp that is featured in the movie.
And we know already that Lily will deliver a much better version of whatever song she's singing than Madonna did trying to do her hit Like a Prayer at the Eurovision Song Contest. But that's by the by. It's silly on that basis. It's the way forward. And presumably, did you check out the Eurovision Song Contest in Los Angeles? I mean, we've already had Arthur Weingarten say no interest, zero interest whatsoever. So you could buck the trend by saying, well, in the Leonis household, we were checking out the Eurovision Song Contest.
We were not, no.
So,
I'm not familiar with this.
Well, there we are. It's a song contest that features, obviously, lots of countries in Europe, hence Eurovision, Australia and Israel as well. So I've yet to understand why we haven't got Canada in there as well, or indeed California. Let's open it up a wee bit. We need to give the title of the movie. The title of the movie, of course, is?
The title is Funny Story, and I play a character called Moon River, who is a somewhat eccentric kind of new age mind reading, crystal wielding soothsayer.
And let's face it, in these days, in the wonderful joys of Trump land, we could actually do with some mind bending soothsayers. Maybe not. It was Richard Nixon,
yes.
I believe, who always used to have an astronomer online. Emily Bette Richards, let's just do a quick straw poll in the studio. Have you ever heard of Emily Bette Richards? Melissa?
No.
Nope. Bethany?
No, I haven't.
No,
actually.
Ben? No. Dave, forget it. Focus.
No, not really. No.
Unbelievable. Yeah, obviously not familiar with the Arrowverse, not familiar.
Well,
yeah, it's shocking.
You know,
I mean, I've got to ask the question, though.
Alex,
yes?
Alex is a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
But it really doesn't matter if you know the star. The story is really entertaining. It's about kind of a father-daughter relationship, a strained relationship with a grown daughter, and a wedding that he accidentally crashes and completely destroys, and the kind of uncomfortable comedy and heartbreak that ensues.
We're playing your song, Lily. If you hear the background there, just Danny Williams just uttering a song dedicated entirely to your character. But that's quite enough of that. I have to ask the question, Lily. Emily Bette Richards, would you actually recommend her as a potential co-host with the Midweek Drive? I mean, does she get the Lily Holliman seal of approval, or is it a case of, no, not really?
She gets my seal of approval. I don't think you could pin her down. She's a very, very busy gal.
Mm. So she gets your seal of approval.
So
but
I certainly can't have no access to her.
No,
so.
we're not. We're just asking for a recommendation. That's all. Just a recommendation is all we need.
If you want to try, I say go for it. She's a lovely gal.
And we can also lead with the fact that nobody in the Studio X News, who the heck she is, apart from the two of us. So there we are. So, you know, obviously her global profile has reached a stage where we're all sorted on that basis. Okay, let us, as I said a few seconds ago, open it up a wee bit and go to Bethany. Any questions you'd like to put to Lily as you check out her IMDb credits and more?
Oh, no, that's not what I was doing.
Were you not?
No, not at all. Oh, I just feel like that's exciting. Okay. I was going to ask you, My memory has been horrendous lately. That was what I was going to ask. What sort of audience is the film aimed at? Do you think it's sort of a, something the whole family could see, or is it more like a adult sort of thing?
I would say it's more of an adult movie. There's certainly some adult content in it. It's not too explicit, but I wouldn't take your 5-year-old to it.
That sounds
like it. Just have to sort of point out that Bethany doesn't have a 5-year-old, at least not that we're aware of.
No, I don't. Not
unless, is it news to the family as well?
Yeah, imagine. Surprise, Mum!
Exactly. You knew that time 5 years ago, and I was just, you know, took a long holiday. Well, actually, yeah, it's a movie in itself, really. Okay, Fergus, as a film critic, as somebody. No, sorry, carry on, Lily.
But funny story, in addition to being released in theaters, it is also available on iTunes and different platforms like that. But I don't know, you guys might have access to iTunes over there.
Yeah,
I don't know the world of technology.
It's a bit of a shock, but Apple has actually connected with us. Although I gather that Huawei is not a sort of major thing in the States these days, that you've got one or two issues with Huawei. I don't know why, but apparently there's rumours of espionage, rumours of trade wars and so on and so forth. And how, Lily, as an American citizen, are you going to cope with the extortionate prices that new trainers, or sneakers perhaps, will actually be costing? 100% import duty. I mean, it's going to mean that just getting a pair of those shoes with the little arrow on, which are made by obviously exploited workers in the Far East, will probably set you back the cost of half a house.
Well, I just won't buy any.
There you are. That's Lily Ollivan saving the world.
Or it might be cheaper. I was saying it might be cheaper to buy them in the UK and then fly back.
Wow.
You
see,
that's
the thing, you know. Trip to Port Merion and then come over to the British Isles as well as Wales, stock up on all of the sneakers, go through American customs saying, what's anything to declare? Only these 62 pairs of sneakers. Sorted. It could fund your next movie, Lily. I'm just sort of putting that out there as a possibility.
I'm on board.
Good.
But I wanted to tell you about the another thing I'm doing is a Mad Hatter gin and tea party cocktail experience that just opened last night. I am playing the Dormouse and the Cheshire Cat, and it is a full immersive show with the Mad Hatter and the March Hare and three different tea-themed gin cocktails and treats, and people get their own hats, and it's hilarity ensues.
Now, whereabouts, Lily, in the fabulous continent of North America, in that city, that state that happens to be called California, the Gold Rush State, where exactly can people, should they be flying over, and I don't know, Melissa might be getting on the next plane as soon as the show's finished in 6 minutes' time, I don't know, or on a scooter, we've still got the photo shoot to do, so don't run away yet. We might even tag Lily Holliman into the scooter shoot, because that'd be quite nice, that'd be sort of like a virtual tagging, Lily, Robin Pierce, etc. Whereabouts, Lily, can they actually see the Mad Hatter Gin and Tea Party with yourself performing and getting into the skin of the Dormouse with cocktails and more?
This is in Hollywood on Ivar, just south of Hollywood Boulevard, in a secret location. Mm-hmm. A secret garden
so
in Wonderland.
If it's a secret garden, are you expecting an audience at all, or is it just a case of, you know, shh, we could tell you, but then we'd have to send you to the White House?
Maybe it's down a certain rabbit hole.
Nice point, Dave.
It's down the rabbit hole at 1661 North Ivar Street. So.
Kind of giving it away there, if we've got any American listening. Yeah. Any sort of stuff there, it's sort of about 5 years, so yeah, it's a challenge. So, Lily, was the Dormouse something you always secretly looked to? Because I'd always seen you more, if truth be told, as either the Cheshire Cat or possibly Alice herself. I never see you as a Dormouse, but what was the line that kind of said, yeah, this is what I have trained for?
Well, I had never thought of it before, but it's been a really fun experience and completely open to my interpretation of the Dormouse. And I read up on the animal and found that it actually is only in Great Britain and Europe.
Mm-hmm.
It can only be found there. We don't have dormice over in these parts, but they're an absolutely adorable animal that hibernate 183 days out of the year.
Yeah.
They're so cute.
That's what, however, I have to point out that whilst Fuzz Aldrin is around, best not introduce him to a Dormouse. Her to a Dormouse. Just get the gender to her. Otherwise, could
well, in a way, I sort of feel like I'm playing Fuzz Aldrin as a mouse.
Yeah, I can see that.
And a cat.
I can see that.
Because I play the Cheshire Cat. There's a Cheshire Cat puppet in the entrance, and I do the voice and the puppetry of the cat, and I play the Cheshire Cat as Christopher Walken,
which is pretty awesome at the best of times. Now, Fergus, I'm pleased you actually smile, because Lily's channeling of the essence of Christopher Walken, whether we're talking A View to a Kill Christopher Walken, whether we're talking early sort of Apocalypse Now Christopher Walken, so Lily, would you like to ask Fergus, in a Christopher Walken way, how he's found his first ever midweek drive?
Okay, and say again the name Fergus?
Fergus. As in
Fergus.
Fergus. Yes.
Fergus. Hey, Fergus. How did you enjoy your first midweek drive?
You get chills, don't you?
Like,
exactly.
Yeah, it's weird. It's Well, yeah, I've very much enjoyed it, and who knows what the next one's going to be like.
It's tomorrow morning,
yeah,
of course.
Exactly.
Or in Los Angeles time, midnight. If you're around, Lily, feel free to tune in. You know, more than welcome to do that. Gabriella Peralta in Gibraltar, Richard Fitzwilliams talking about Tolkien, Dr. Catherine Birch, senior researcher at Newcastle University and co-author of Milk, Light Exposure and Depletion of Key Nutrients. Ian Lennox is back with us as well. We might have William Sitwell. And even Ben the Stig Collins will be with us, plus a few other folk as well. How have you found the programme, Melissa Wilde?
It's good. I was very, very nervous at first.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Bethany calmed you down?
Yeah.
Slapped you a few times? Only kidding. It's the way forward. Yes.
After about 20 minutes, I sort of calmed down.
People do. I mean, a call from Dave, of course, who's still like a cat on hot tin.
It's just like sitting here having a chat, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Structured one. That's the important thing. Thanks to Anna Lewis, William Coles, Arthur Weingarten, Graham Harper, Jason Lewis, Robin Pierce, and, of course, Lily Leonis.
Yay!
Broken so many hearts, but still, never mind. I suppose they had to get together.
Maybe she should have played the Queen of Hearts in the current piece.
Clearly. This would have been...
Oh, my gosh. Well, in last night's performance, you know, we're in the middle of Hollywood, and crazy noises all the time, and we're supposed to improvise and incorporate the noises out on the street. And last night, who knows what crazy person just starts screaming on the top of his lungs out in the street outside of the venue.
Mm.
And so the Dormouse, as my Dormouse character, I said, "Oh, there's a beheading! She's at it! She's cutting off his head! Quick, hide!"
I mean, I could almost be there.
And the guy just kept going. It was great. The beauty of live theater.
We haven't even had a chance to speak about what exciting things are going on with the Los Angeles Breakfast Club, so clearly you're going to have to return. Has it been an okay telephonic link for your good self, Lily?
Oh, I always love telephonic links.
This
Thank
is good.
You.
This is important. And Bethany, what's the other question we need to put to her?
will you be joining us again sometime soon, Lily?
Sure, if
you'll let me. You see, that's what I love about Lily, because exactly. You know, sometimes with our American links, they're straightforward. Lily, you get an inbuilt satellite delay. It's genius. You know, we're working through that process, and then the magic happens. I think we simply have to just wrap up with a classic line from me for today's show, which is "Gravel rash hurts." It's important. It's an advisory, but well worth always saying. So after three, thanks, of course, to Ben Lewis, Beth Gulliver, Dave Walker. Scooter Dave, the event, of course, is taking place when?
13th of July, Brayford for Waterfront in Lincoln.
Exactly, 13th of July, 2019, for the whole system. Festival of Creativity, of course, taking place when?
28th of May until the 7th of June.
Bear that in mind. Listen to the programme again. It's fantastic. And thanks to Fergus, as well as Melissa and Lily. After three, and we expect you to take a lead in this, Lily, in your Dormouse way, Gravel Rash Hurts. A one, two, three.
Gravel Rash Hurts.
Genius. The rehearsals do pay off. They do, honestly.